I don't use this thing often, so it might take a while. My message is about, not my message, the message which the Lord has given me. It's about the bread of life. And you've seen a video about Papua New Guinea. We don't eat bread a lot, but we do have our staple food. And in Papua New Guinea, there are many things that sometimes you read on the internet that are not true, just like all the other countries in the world. Some things that are being presented by media are not true. But what the missionaries tell you sometimes are true because they are on the ground and they have a first-hand experience about life in countries where they work in. So if you want to know about PNG, I think I'm not a tourist a promotional officer, but I would encourage you to maybe if you have time and the Lord opens a door, maybe try go to PNG. We don't have malls, but if you want to know more about God, go to PNG. You will see him in there in PNG. Today I want to talk about the bread of life. And since bread is not part of Asian diet, I think sometimes it's hard trying to explain the matzah bread and all the other different kinds of bread that people eat. The U.S., they eat bread, and some other Western countries and maybe other continents. But in Asia, I'm not really sure if most people eat bread. We do eat bread in a week. At least we eat maybe 4 or 5 loaves of bread. That's probably a lot for some people who don't like eating bread. But I want to talk about something which might be a little bit contextual. I don't know whether you realize that or not. You probably might see some of the names on the other side. That's a little bit familiar. One of the things I came to learn while living in the Philippines is this phrase. A meal is not complete without rice. This evening, some people will be eating rice. Yesterday, some people ate rice. This morning, some people ate rice. And at lunchtime, we will be eating rice at the dining hall. A meal is not complete without rice. So let's look at some things about rice. We eat rice, but there are some interesting things about rice. It's one of the oldest food crops in the world. I checked on the internet. They said the Koreans discovered rice to be cultivated about 12,000 years ago. And the Chinese probably about 15,000 years ago. And there are many theories about that, and researchers are still trying to discover. They said, one source said rice was discovered about or cultivated about 3,000 years ago in the Philippines. That's when we did not live. And it was in PNG, my ancestors cultivated rice, coffee, and vanilla and cocoa, the thing that they make chocolate, came later. But they cultivated rice before. So it's one of the most consumed staple food in the world, if you look at it. And it's consumed by over 3.5 billion or more than that people around the world. So you are one of that. We eat rice a lot. 90% of the world's rice is produced and consumed in Asia. And we are contributing to that, the consumption of rice. Rice also provides over 50% of the food energy for millions of people in Asia. Some of us will not have the strength to come and worship this morning because we did not eat rice. Some of us grew up eating rice. My people in PNG have their staple food, but I grew up in the city when I was a child. So I grew up eating rice. Rice is one of the staple food eaten by Papua New Guineans in the city. And I believe in Asian countries, in the rural areas and in the cities, you eat a lot of rice. And some of us have grown up eating rice. Just imagine if there was no rice. Some people are smiling because you cannot take rice away from their lives. It's part of their lives. When you look at the statistics, don't look at the figures, but just look at that graph. China consumes a lot of rice, maybe because of the population. Cindy, have you... The Indians come second in the ladder, and the Indonesians and Bangladeshi, Mono, your people, and then the Vietnamese and the Filipinos and down the line. I think it depends on the population of the people. The bigger the population, the bigger the rice consumption is. But let's look at the variety. There are varieties of rice. And some people say it's over 40, there are over 40,000 different varieties of rice in the world. Rice has different taste, has different aroma, has different sizes. It also has different colors. Most people only know the white rice. They don't know other different kinds of rice, and they have never tasted other different kinds of rice. And if they were to buy rice, they would buy the white rice. But there are benefits of eating rice as well. It's easy to cook and good to eat. Very easy. It also regulates and improves the bowel movement. It helps our body. It also supplies vitamin B to the body. So it helps our hearts, it helps our lungs, it helps many parts of the body. Now you know why rice is important. Huh? It also helps with brown rice, lowers the risk of cancer and Alzheimer's disease. Brown rice is not tasty. It doesn't have a sweet the taste like the white rice. And most people don't like eating brown rice, but it has health benefits. Is that right, Papa Lee? So a meal is not complete without rice. And we all know that. But can we Asians say that life is not complete without Christ? A meal is not complete without a meal is not complete without rice because it has become part of our lives. But can we also say the same thing, that life is not complete without Christ? Asia is home to many different religions. Hinduism is probably considered one of the oldest religions in the world. And you have many other religions. We have folk religions. In PNG, we worship all kinds of spirits. I don't know about India. How many? Over 200 gods that you worship? People cannot live without religion. It has become part of their lives. And life is not complete without participating in some form of religion for an Asian. I don't know about the modern Asians, the people who live in the city. They may not regard religion as important. But for an average Asian, religion is part of his or her life. Life is not complete without religion. So if life is not complete without religion, what kind of Christianity can we give that can satisfy the lives of the people of Asia? What would make people feel that life is not complete without Christ? For Christians, it's easy because we have been trained that way, to think that life is not complete without Christ. But for an average person out there that we try to reach and they have heard the gospel, for an average Christian in our churches? Do they still feel that life is incomplete without Christ, with the busyness of the world, with their needs that overwhelm their everyday life? Is life incomplete without Christ? There are many various gospels that you see. There are prosperity gospel, legalism, consumerism, where we try to entertain everybody who come here, and the people, instead of coming to worship God, they become small demigods. They expect the worship leaders and everyone to entertain them. They feel like, oh, they are not satisfied, and so that's why God is not there. We have the holiness triumphalism. I borrowed this term from Dr. Cunningham's book. You should read that. It's interesting. With the holiness, people think that when holiness rules and reigns on this earth, then everybody will be okay. There will be surplus of food, and everyone will be happy. We have the Messiah complex, a gospel where everyone wants to become a little Christ, and they can give everything. We have all kinds of gospels. We have the happy, healthy, wealthy gospel. We have the right knowledge, right experience. If you have the right knowledge, you will understand God. We also have a different kind of gospel where it has self-help gospel of the modern narcissism, where if you know more about yourself and if you are able to understand who you are, you can overcome the barriers of life. But what is the good gospel that when we give to the people, people will take that and say, we cannot live without that gospel. Life is not complete without that bread, without that rice, because we've tasted that rice and we know how important it is to our lives. How does it taste? What is its color? What is its aroma? You know, in our classes, we learn all kinds of theories. Some of these theories won't work when we go out. It's just there to help us expand our minds. But what is the kind of rice that we can present to the people, and when they taste it, they will say, yes, I have rice, I have religion, but the rice that you give me is different. I know Christianity. It's one of the biggest religions in the world. But the kind of gospel that you are giving me is different. I like that bread. Sometimes the good gospel is bitter. When you read that story, those people, the crowd who were following Jesus, some of them had to leave because they were aftering the provisions. They were not aftering Jesus. Jesus fed them the last time. So they were running after him. If we follow him, we would get the benefits of eating rice, an easy life. We will get free handouts, free gifts. So Jesus will be giving us free gifts. What if the gospel that we present No, go back. Sorry. What if the gospel that we present is bitter to the people? What if the gospel that we present is unattractive to the people? Or if it feels like it's outdated? Because we don't want traditions in the church. We always want something new so that we can make people happy. It is no longer about God, but it's about consumerism. It's no longer about worshiping God, but we come here and we expect people to satisfy us. What if the gospel is countercultural and it tells us, no, the world wants to do this, but do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds? What if the gospel is different? What will a seminary student do if the gospel is bitter to the lives of the people? Am I going to conform to the lives or the worldliness of the people and be like them in order to please them so that I can attract a lot of number? When we look at the story of Jesus in that passage, a lot of people ran away. Because from feeding their hungry stomachs, he wanted them to realize the importance of why he's doing what he's doing and why he came to this earth, so that they may have life. And the true bread is himself. Sometimes we lavish people with all these different things and we forget the essence of what we are doing. Sometimes it's hard for a seminary student to preach the gospel because he cannot preach it, but he can be flexible giving free handouts. What is the essence of the gospel? You can sugarcoat it, but if Christ is not in what you are giving, I don't know what you are giving. Many seek after resources offered by Christian organizations. They are not interested in the source of the resource. The source. It is possible to distribute the resource without the source of the resource. What kind of Christ are we going to distribute? Asians are not new to religion. They know Christianity. Talk about Christianity, Filipinos know. Catholicism has been here. You go to PNG and you talk about Christianity, everyone believes God exists. No problem with atheism. Because they have first-hand experience about spiritual realities. But the problem is the kind of gospel that we present. I believe it depends on our transformation. We cannot give what we do not have. Sometimes we think the knowledge that fills up in our head can make a difference. We are not the only seminary students in the world. This seminary has existed for so many years. But some of the seminarians have not transformed the world. Why? This thing alone does not change the world. We have so many institutions in the world. I believe the power of the gospel is in a person's life. It's not in the programs, but in the lives of the people. If you tasted the bread, if I tasted the bread and the bread has transformed us, I believe what you have, the people can feel it. You taste it, and if you give it to others, I taste it and I give it to others, that can change, that can help people. It's not in the good programs. Sometimes people get bored with the program. Some people seek after revelation, like the passage that came before that passage that we read, John chapter 5. The teachers of the law wanted to know more about God. They studied, thinking that by having a good, big knowledge, they are closer to God. But I believe theology sometimes does not connect us with God. It informs us about God. But it takes a person's will to make a choice to connect with God. And that loving relationship with God and how you feel God in your life that makes the difference. It's possible to be a rice distributor and not without loving rice. It's possible to be in front because I graduated from the seminary and I can be leading worship, I can do everything. Or because I am gifted, I can do whatever I want to do. I have a certificate. But the challenge is, do I really love what I'm doing? Do I really love the person that I'm distributing? Do I really love Christ? It is possible to do the work of the Lord and not be connected to the Lord of the work. Sometimes we say, I'm very busy, I don't have time. And that's true, we are right. We don't have time because we have allocated all our times to many other things and we don't have time for Christ. Can our daily lives be okay without Christ? the first answer or response from a person or a Christian is no. Why? Because some of them have been trained to say that my life is not okay without Christ. But the test is, if in the morning you wake up and you have not prayed, or if during the week you have not prayed, you have not read your Bible, you have not had a personal time with God, and you can just go by during the day and everything is okay, you can live life without Christ. And yet your mouth professes that I cannot live without Christ. But the life experience shows that you can live life without Christ. Those who have become accustomed to eating rice every day understand how a meal is incomplete without rice. Those who have a personal experience with Christ every day understand when they are not communing with Christ. I don't know how our lives are with all this busyness. It is a challenge as well. I want to draw a conclusion and ask two questions. One, why are we following Jesus? And two, are we in the seminary because of the provisions or for the provisions? Or are we in the seminary because of the provider? Who is more important?